Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, let's get to the Robert Kraft story. Charged with misdemeanor, solicitation, prostitution. He's at a massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida. And the story is receiving an extraordinary amount of coverage. Okay, I know ESPN's going to cover it. Look over your left shoulder here. Fox, second item. CNN has led with it. At times. We're going to get in this in multiple ways on this story. Is this big enough to lead sometimes CBS News, CNN, and Fox that Bob Kraft?
100%. When it first broke, I mean, CBS Radio went into full five special reports per hour mode, and that's reserved for only the biggest stories.
How is this the biggest story that Robert Kraft, okay, considering what is going on, I'm not defending him, but.
I think you are. Let's get that out there. Chad defends Robert Kraft in sex ring.
I'm pro sex ring. I'm saying absolutely it has to be covered without a shred of doubt. I get ESPN going with it. They're going wall to wall right now on Robert Kraft. And prostitution. You think CNN and MSNBC and Fox, this should be their lead item? Because I think you guys do.
I do.
I do.
I totally do. I think it's...
Any other owner? Or is it just him? Because with the Patriots, he now is the most visible owner in pro sports.
I don't know on that side of it. My frustration with it is the lead on Robert Kraft, because I fell into this earlier. What should be the lead is it's a human trafficking ring. This is not like sex workers. He was hiring actual sex workers to have sex with. Like,
but
this
you
is
know, that's a horrible, horrible thing. That to me is an enormous story.
Absolutely.
Which we cover. That's not why
exactly.
This is being covered.
No, and I'm with you on that. That's my frustration. That being said, they said, what, 200 people involved, 25 have been charged. Was it Schefter you retweeted? What was that tweet?
Yeah, that Adam Schefter telling a Providence television station, actually, that he's hearing that Robert Kraft is not even the biggest name involved.
Okay. That all those things make it bigger. That's not why it's being covered big right now.
No.
Like somebody saying, doesn't surprise me you're okay with Robert Kraft, typical liberal. No. I am saying the story absolutely should be covered. And if this turns into a bigger story with bigger names— hell yes. No other owner in sports would be drawing this attention, would he? I mean, who's the next?
Jerry Jones.
Well, Cuban. Cuban would definitely drive this for sure.
Cuban and Jones, you're right on both those. Anybody else? While we're thinking, let's emphasize this. Sex trafficking and what is happening to women in this country and abroad, and individuals who are brought here and treated horrifically, I'm not downplaying that for one second. That is one of these stories that doesn't get nearly the coverage it should. But I'm just saying the guy who's pushing this story right now is Robert Kraft, and The folks who are reacting early on the mainstream outlets don't have all the other details to back up. Now, the Schefter part is intriguing about this. When Schefter is saying Robert Kraft, did he say he is not or he may not be?
May not be.
Okay, because that's different. Okay, that he is not the biggest name versus he.
Well, I'd have to listen back to it. Maybe he
Let's listen back and let's get that right, because there's an enormous difference from he may not be the biggest name to he is not the biggest name. On the initial coverage on the Robert Kraft part of this story, and I am not defending Kraft at all. Again, he needs to face the full extent of the law, and then we need to see what is taking place with women, abuse, trafficking, all of that. But on this part, is this not ESPN, but the other outlets, when they're covering this extensively. Now, it's on a day when the last, as we pointed out in the last 15 minutes, R. Kelly has been indicted. So that story is taking over a little bit on CNN right now. What do you think? Send me a text, 81807. Adam has an update right now. Okay, we listened to what Adam Schefter said during the break. This is to what, a Providence?
Yeah, I believe the ABC station in Providence.
And Adam Schefter is saying that Robert Kraft is not the biggest person involved in these arrests. Okay. Robert Kraft's a pretty big name, right? I still think not quite as big as maybe, but some of it, too, is how cable news and how radio now goes through Twitter and social media. That once any story breaks, we go, like, to the wall, no matter what, for an extended period of time, because you're fearful somebody else is going to have more info on it. And you feel like the eyeballs are drawn to that, right? Because CNN now is all over the R. Kelly story, which is, from what we know, a significantly worse story. From what we know. That's what I'm reacting to. Not downplaying trafficking, not downplaying what could be a part of this story, but taking the information that we have at this particular time. The Jupiter police chief, Daniel Kerr, said Kraft was charged with two counts of soliciting prostitution and that a warrant for his arrest is with the state attorney's office. He said there is video evidence of Kraft involved in sex acts in a massage parlor on two occasions. 25 people total were charged with soliciting prostitution at the Orchids of Asia Spa in Jupiter. Adam, is this a place that you travel down to?
I haven't been to Florida since I was maybe 9 years old.
I'm going to Fort Myers on Monday.
Do a little research down there.
Yeah. And I like massages. I've never once been asked about a happy ending. Adam?
No.
Happy ending come up?
I think I've only had like two massages.
Oh, you're missing. Lindsay, you have more massages than that, don't you? What do you think of massages?
I love massages, but I'm not getting them frequently. That's not.
No, but more than, he said two. You've had more than two, right?
I probably had four.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
God, massages are phenomenal, right?
Yeah, they're phenomenal, but they cost a lot of money if you want a good one.
Yeah, I think you can find good ones for 50, 60 bucks. Answered a question about the fees at the Orchids of Asia, because apparently people want to know about the fees. The Jupiter Police Detective, Andrew Sharp, said the fee for 30 minutes was $59, $79 for an hour. He did not specify what Kraft paid for. Were you curious, Adam, if he paid for the 30 minutes or for the hour? Were you wondering about that a little bit?
No.
The investigation shut down spas that run from Palm Beach to Orange County. Of those 10, half were in Indian River County. Speaking about cases out of Indian River, police said the woman lived at the spas and worked as prostitutes. Okay, this is where, when we're seeing that part of stories, if people are forced to live there, okay, and that depth of the story causes the coverage, would cause, to me, more valid coverage on that part, not just on Kraft because he's a name. This is where it gets to the depth, and I hope the people who are going to spend time just centering on Robert Kraft are going to pay way more attention. Many came from China on temporary work visas, indebted to the brokers who helped them reach America, but believing legitimate jobs awaited them. Some of them are trying to make a better life for themselves. These people are truly stuck. They were shamed, intimidated, and taught not to speak to law enforcement or immigration officials. Others answered when they thought they were legitimate ads for a masseuse job, but soon were pressured into doing more. Another four spas, according to the report, were in another county, and a fifth case was in the town of Jupiter. The probable cause affidavit in the Jupiter case says, as part of the investigation, officers would do traffic stops on vehicles when they left the spa. The affidavit states that officers were told multiple times by drivers inside the spa that women had engaged in the acts. Kraft has come out through his attorney and has categorically denied this, which is what I guess we would expect him to say at this particular point. Are we expecting to hear more out of Robert Kraft today? Because I'm all in on no. Lindsay, what do you think? You think we're going to hear any more out of Robert Kraft outside of categorically denies it?
No. Now, I'm confused. So, and it's ironic that it's coming from someone who is he wrote my favorite book, but Jim DeFetti, who is a longtime reporter in Southern Florida, just tweeted out that Jupiter PD released a list of those 25 people that were arrested.
Yep.
He crossed out all of the names but just posted it with their ages, and Kraft at 77 wasn't the oldest person.
Hmm. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. This is my frustration with it, and I get I hate saying this. One, it's despicable because no offense to these, I'll just assume they're all men. No, but no offense to these people who engaged with this spa.
Mm-hmm.
You know these women were not there. Like, just please don't tell me you thought that they were actual sex workers. Because there are sex workers in this country. There are people who do it for a living and they enjoy it. And it is their job. And you may not agree with that, but that is not your decision to make. There are people who want to do it legally. That is not the case here. And so for these people, these people who, I mean, Robert Kraft, how much money does he have? The idea that he couldn't find a sex worker who wanted to do it. And it infuriates me. But I just don't understand I don't know why he didn't include their names. I'm just kind of confused. But he went on to say that the police have said hundreds of men are likely to be charged.
Well, and something like this, Adam, what's the normal protocol? If someone is charged, do you automatically release their names at that point? If it reaches a point
depends
where you're
on the department. Some departments will, you know, as soon as arrests is public record, they will release names. Obviously, Kraft wasn't arrested, but
let me just ask you this. Well, my thinking is most of the time in most places, if someone is charged, those names are out.
No. So the police have released the names. What this reporter, and he went on to explain, he crossed the names out when he put it on Twitter. because some of them are not as high profile as Robert Kraft.
Okay.
And that they shouldn't be lumped in with the press coverage that he's getting. They didn't want people to go down that rabbit hole. He's doing it as a, this is not my area. We're talking Robert Kraft.
Right. Carter, are you okay with that? If you were covering this story and you were putting it out for WCCO radio here, and it was a big name, would you include all the other names?
If they've
been
charged, then yes. If they've been charged, yes.
And again, this is one journalist, right, who's doing this, not the police. I'm with you, Adam. What do you think, Lisa? I think if you happen to be in that,
yeah,
too bad, right? Yeah. You're the one who made this decision, and we can separate the amount of coverage right now. But if you're caught up in this same ring of arrests, comes with the territory.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and the second step to it is, well, someone else is just going to put out the list. But I also think reporters are trying to be more careful these days, especially, you know, I don't know.
See, I disagree with that. I think we've come to a point where it used to be it was an unwritten rule where you would not release somebody's name until they were charged. And now that is kind of – Lauren Oakes and I talk about that all the time now. Now we get names even for people who aren't, you know, public figures. Their names are released.
The Trib has moved further in this area, right?
Just based on arrests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you wearing your journalism hat? Are you more uncomfortable with that?
I was, to admittedly, and I guess just based on how the news has changed, that I'm not as uncomfortable with it anymore. Yeah, I mean, it depends on the kind of story involved.
Yep.
But like Lindsay said, you know, it's, you know, if we don't release it, you know, you're going to get it somewhere else.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, then the pressure becomes, okay, you can have your journalism, you can have your ethics, but your boss is also driving you for clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem. That's part of how stories end up sometimes wrong and reacting too strong and getting facts wrong. 24 past one. You want to keep chiming in. 81807. More on this. We are going to talk about the individual who worked at the Coast Guard and was involved in collecting weapons and looking at manifestos and potentially about to go on a terror attack against some of the biggest Democrats in this country and also some journalists. That story in about 12 minutes here on CCO. All right, out of this story, do we think prostitution should be legal in this country? Because that debate has come up many times, and it can be an interesting political coalition of where people stand on it. I get where defenders will make the point about more sunlight on this, take the criminal element out of it, take the power out of it, that potentially if you do this, it could lessen the sex trafficking because people wouldn't be looking for the locations where they wouldn't be caught because it would be accepted by society. I'm no at this point. Maybe I'm going to evolve on this one. Maybe I'm going to change this one. I still think, I'm not sure if the abuse wouldn't be worse, Adam. If it's legal and you had more places that were available and thus more pressure to get more women of all ages. Now, maybe there's more regulation, obviously, because of it. But what do you think? Does it make that particular industry, those particular women or men who are involved, are they safer if it's legal in states? Because I don't care what you do sexually. I really don't. But when someone is forced to do something against their will, that's a totally different situation. Does this lessen the chances of people to be forced against their will if it's now legal in various cities and states across the country?
I don't know. I would think you could make that argument that, I mean, it's the same argument they've made with, you know, legalizing marijuana, that you take it out of the hands of drug traffickers and, you know, end the violence associated with that. Yeah, I mean, if you're regulating a sexual industry like this, then you are ensuring that the people involved in it are there willingly. I mean, that's kind of the basic premise of it. I mean, I'm not certainly arguing that prostitution should be legalized, but I would think that that would decrease the amount of trafficking involved. I don't know.
What do you think, Lindsay? Does this, if it's allowed in the state of Minnesota, and individuals who are forced to do this, whether they're born here, brought here, and they're basically being threatened to do this. This is trafficking at its worst. We're going to have this conversation again with the Final Four coming up, right? We should be having this conversation all the time. If it's allowed, and the fact that, at least within the legislation, say we're going to regulate this more, does that match up with outing more people who are basically torturing people and forcing them to do this for a living?
I just think there'd be way too many issues with it. I have no issue with people who want to do it or who want to seek it out. It's not something I would ever do. But that said, there would have to be so many safeguards put in place. Like, let's pretend I'm a sex worker and I want to become certified. Like, the things that you would have to do, I don't think it could just be legalized and then you could be a sex worker. Yep. I think it would have to be almost like when you get certified to be a doctor. You know, you like go through certain things and there's protocol. And I'm not saying it from there is from the safety standpoint, but sure. I also mean from the standpoint of not being forced into doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it. Among the texts, listen to podcasts, Sold in America gives both sides to the legalization. Thank you. And then they bring up the Holland, you know, Amsterdam. Right? We hear about that. We read about it. I did travel to Amsterdam one time and walk through the red light district, and I was like, nah, get me. I wasn't considering it, but I felt awful for the people involved. But I've read those stories before, Carter, right, where it's follow up on health and regulated, and because it's so accepted by a portion of the population, I'm sure there's still plenty who are adamantly against it, that makes it a safer industry. Do we see any state in the next 20 years legalizing prostitution? I don't see momentum at all, right? You guys are with me?
No, not a state. I could see it be something like Vegas where there's areas,
yeah.
But I don't think a whole state, no.
Yeah. 33 past 1. Traffic and weather, and then an excellent guest on what was going on with this Coast Guard lieutenant in moments on WCCO. All right, this is a story which I was talking about the craft part of the prostitution story, because human sex trafficking should receive a lot more coverage. The craft part, to me, is going a little over the top, at least from how we know the story now. This story, I guess I don't get why some outlets aren't covering it more. The Washington Post did, the New York Times did. One of the writers of an excellent Washington Post story, Lynn Bowie, is kind enough to join us. Her headline, and it's available to you, WashingtonPost.com, or the headline tied to the story. Let me phrase it that way. Coast Guard lieutenant used work computers in alleged planning of widespread domestic terrorist attack, prosecutors say. Lynn is kind enough to join us. Thank you, Lynn, very much for your time. What is the part of this story that you and your fellow journalists at the Post, when you did your work and you've also paid attention to others, what part of this story is maybe not getting as much attention as you and the other reporters think it should?
You know, this story has been reported all over the place. I think what folks will be looking at next is sort of the legal issues surrounding, you know, whether this was genuinely a thwarted terrorist attack. You know, prosecutors argue absolutely. Law enforcement argue absolutely, you know, they feel like they stopped something that could have been horrendous. But when he appeared in court yesterday, his defense attorney was saying, listen, you just found some weapons. People are allowed to have weapons. You found some, you know, internet searches. People are allowed to do internet searches. So, you know, she kind of argued that the government was a little hysterical in its findings.
The district attorney for Maryland had this to say. The sheer number and force of the weapons recovered from the residents in this case, coupled with the disturbing nature of the writings, appears to reflect a very significant threat to the safety of our community, particularly given the position of trust that Mr. Hassan had. What kind of weapons did he have? Expand on that a little bit.
You know, as part of their filing, prosecutors included a photo of the weapons they seized in his basement. There are photos of rifles, long guns. They said he had more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition. There's handguns. There's ballistic vests, prosecutors said in court yesterday. So, you know, they're calling it a stockpile. Obviously, his attorney is saying, for maybe your average gun collector, this is a modest collection.
Mm-hmm. Expand on who he was looking at, right? When we're talking about the individual in Norway, the Unabomber, Eric Rudolph, are they giving us in depth how much time he spent on the web, what he did in looking up those particular individuals? So, because you can see, at least from afar here, and obviously I don't know the case as well as the any of the attorneys involved or as well as you do in your reporting, but you can see a leap when, wait a second, you're accumulating this sort of weaponry and you're looking this up. Do we know how far he went in his research in depth on these particular individuals?
Prosecutors yesterday and in their court filing said that he modeled a lot of his research off of right-wing terrorist Anders Breivik from Norway. And, you know, in those coordinated attacks, he killed 77 people. You know, in that manifesto, Breivik talked about, you know, creating a list of traitors, you know, stocking up on steroids to kind of give yourself fortitude during an attack. That sort of thing. And, you know, prosecutors say a lot of his actions echoed sort of this manifesto that this Norwegian terrorist followed. You know, when, in addition to the weapons cache, when law enforcement conducted a search warrant, they found a locked box full of human growth hormone, yeah. Which they argue was, you know, him kind of echoing the advice that he found in this previous manifesto.
He came up with the list of names, prominent people in Washington, D.C., from Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, even Representative Ilhan Omar, the first-year congresswoman from this area, and a number of journalists from CNN and MSNBC. Do we know in particular how he picked those particular names, or are those just some of the most prominent politicians who are mentioned a lot? And that's why those names ended up on the list.
Prosecutors say in the filings that it seems like he was looking at liberal politicians and journalists, reporters, commentators. You know, they included some of his writings, you know, that talked about, you know, some of the individuals that he'd like to focus on. And they also mentioned that some of his internet searches, you know, some of the internet searches, they say from 2018 was, you know, quote, most liberal senators. Where do most senators live in D.C.? Do senators have Secret Service protection?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the types of things that they say he was looking at.
So he joined the Coast Guard in 1996. Can you expand on for the audience what exactly he was doing with the Coast Guard?
His most recent, it sounds like he was rising up the ranks, and, you know, he's been in the Coast Guard for more than 22 years. And his most recent duty, he was part of a cutter acquisition program, I believe. And, you know, it was work trying to deal with the aging fleet and, you know, working with contractors and that type of thing.
And some of these searches, when he was online, this was taking place while he was at work.
That's what prosecutors say. They say that, you know, for hours on end at work on his government computer, he would search, you know, he'd read through these manifestos or, you know, conduct these internet searches. And the Coast Guard said that, you know, in the end, it was, you know, those searches that kind of raised a red flag for them. And that's when they started going down this path of looking into him.
Lynn, is there anything in any of the information about how imminent they thought this possibly could have been if they didn't step in due to their work?
There is not an exact date that's outlined in court documents. There's not, you know, an exact event or a map or anything like that that the government has laid out or said, you know, this was it. But, you know, they do contend that the first line in one of their motions was, you know, he, quote, intends to murder innocent civilians on a scale rarely seen in this country. You know, obviously his attorney argues, well, where's the plan? What's the date? You know, prove it.
Lynn, good reporting. We'll continue to follow what you're doing because this story certainly is not slowing down. Thank you so much. Lynn Bowie, Washington Post, I think the most comprehensive reporting I've seen so far on this story from Lynn, and a team report is, again, available to you, Washington Post. I get it, Lindsay, that we have different jobs, right? And so we pay more attention to serious stuff and silly stuff and nonsense. I don't get how this story isn't reverberating throughout this country right now, that we had somebody working with in the Coast Guard, searching for this stuff with a fairly significant amount of weaponry and targeting Pelosi, Schumer, Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and well-known prominent journalists. And it's like, yeah, we'll look at it and we just kind of move on. How are we moving on from the story?
Don't you think, though, for the general public, they pay attention to what fits their interests? So if you are someone who doesn't like Ilhan Omar, or you don't like Nancy Pelosi, you turned an eye. Now, if it had been the other way,
yeah,
and it had been different people on the list, a different group of people would have reacted. But we've become so polarized to our little corners, our little, you know, our little sides. It's
yeah. Even on murder.
Right.
Right. Because who cares at this level about, you know, you could be the president's biggest supporter. You could think the president's the worst president. Okay, so in love Ocasio-Cortez, hate Ocasio-Cortez. But when we're talking about somebody, according to our government, who works for the Coast Guard, by the way, who's dedicated his life to this, is accumulating this and threatening, whether you agree with him or not, shouldn't matter at all. But you've nailed so much of it. It's just sad right now where we can't separate policy, even on this. And again, I'm going to mention it again. Why in the hell has the commander-in-chief not said a damn word about this yet? How? Name me one other president in the history of our country. There's no one. There's no chance. There's no how where these type of leaders, who he disagrees with, and he's totally entitled to do that, are being threatened with someone with this capability who's working under him as the commander-in-chief. And I'm not blaming him as, like, he didn't see it early enough, and he can't call this out or compliment those involved in the investigation?
Well, Chad, you know exactly why he
I know that. It's because it does.
It doesn't fit the narrative.
Yeah.
And you can say, oh, well, maybe, you know, there's just so much going on. But we are talking about a man who has his phone in his hand at every single second of the day. He tweets impulsively. He tweets reactionary. And to not comment on this, there is a reason why, and it is because it doesn't fit the narrative he's trying to put out.
They're on the other side.
Yeah.
That's where, I mean, the president, when we had the pipe bombs towards numerous other Democrats, including, by the way, Barack Obama and Bill and Hillary Clinton, at one point, through tweets, he went down the rabbit hole of conspiracies because it was sidetracking from issues that he was talking about, that he was pushing, and then in the end, never reached out to a single person who was targeted. I got it. He's the president of the United States. He can't reach out to every single one, but to a fellow president? So Trump supporters or others, when you see the twofold here, first of all, why isn't this story getting a little more traction? Or you think I'm wrong on that? You think it is getting the appropriate amount of coverage and discussion and follow-up? Because I don't. And I don't even think it's close.
Oh, if this was a person of color or, you know, someone who had immigrated to this country, it would be everywhere. But it's a white man, and
let's just stop right there. If this was an illegal immigrant who is behind this, you don't think the president would be tweeting endlessly about this, or certain, not all, I want to be very clear about, but certain members of Trump supporters would be going crazy about build that wall. We can have a fair immigration conversation. This is someone who has mocked Nancy Pelosi saying the wall is immoral, who has mocked Beto O'Rourke about saying let's take all the walls down. That's absurd. But we're talking about somebody and trying to have a murder onslaught of terror at some of our highest profile officials, and people just yawn and you're saying, I don't agree with them, or I don't want to talk about it. But the president can spend time retweeting about journalists and others who agree with him. You want to react? If you like, 81807 or phone call 651-989-9226. It's 50 past one. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to lower your energy bills with a free home energy audit. Among the phone calls which came in during the break, you guys never talked about when Steve Scalise was shot, so you're not credible at all. Are you kidding me? We talked about it for days. This isn't about politics when people are shot. When attempted murder, if Steve Scalise wasn't there, and it's terrible that Steve Scalise was, because he almost lost his life. But if Steve Scalise wasn't there, the extra security wouldn't have been there. And there would have been potentially 10 to 15 politicians who were targeted because they're Republicans by this deranged lunatic. That's the only reason why he was going after them, because they were Republicans. So again, facts don't matter with some people on this. This isn't debating policy points. This is being consistent. And again, some of the texts are, oh, you hate the president. I don't hate the president. I don't care for how he treats people. I don't care for his learning curve on issues. I don't care for his bullying. I don't care for how he puts campaign promises ahead of what's taking place. Hate, I am paid to give my opinion on a myriad of topics. And by the way, we give them strong here. But if you think after the show's done, we're like really taking them that serious, no. I go back to the rest of my life and screw that up or enjoy that. But you know what? If you want to listen to shows that just disseminate information, then you listen to shows that don't have success in radio right now. Just, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And so people can't say, I am the biggest Trump supporter out there. Love the president. You're totally entitled to. When people say to me, he's not my president, yeah, he is. Like we got a ton of texts the other day. He's not my governor. These are some of the same people who text me. Why are you critical of Trump? He's your president. Well, they all are, whether you voted for him or not. But you can't call people out in this one. And again, when I text somebody, I don't like how you're saying it. Well, why hasn't the president on this particular issue spoken out? That's, I think, a very fair question. Or why do people call in and think, yeah, I'm not going to be outraged because I've decided when the facts don't match up at all, I'm just going with some narrative that I've decided when you have no idea if it's true, just go with this. When we're talking about, what was it, 10 different people on the list where this individual might have been about killing them. It's stunning. And people are pointing out the number of other, like Jamie Colossi, the president never mentioned that. No. And I'm not saying he has to mention everything. That's not possible. But when it comes up and a match is an issue that he agrees with, he takes it and runs with it endlessly. And when you're the commander in chief and a Coast Guard lieutenant is involved with something like this and you say nothing, to me, it begs a lot of questions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.